Welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast exploring the world of work and how creative entrepreneurs, storytellers, and rule breakers infuse their daily lives with creativity and curiosity. Earlier today, I was writing about the National Geographic docuseries, Photographer, and my lifelong love of photography. This newsletter led me to explore my archives from two trips to Africa in 2008 and Haiti in 2012. Scrolling through thousands of photos, most not very good, I could see something in my work that only the passage of time allowed me to see, the desire to capture and be present with people. In 2008, I could feel the fear, but my creative brain was at work to document what I was experiencing. 2012 was a different story. I was documenting like before, but I was getting closer, physically and emotionally, as I engaged with people. I felt less fear and was more present. And then I came home. I had an adverse reaction to the anti-malarial medication I was taking, and I wanted to die. I didn't physically, but part of my creative spirit disappeared over time. And as I look at pictures of me from that time, I realize just how much I miss that young man and his dreams. Show notes for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/771. While you're there, you'll also find the entire podcast archive, links to the short documentary series and weekly newsletter, and the latest merch to show your love and support of the show. One of my favorite lines from a movie is from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I'm not dead yet. And that's the spirit that I'm bringing to today's episode. As I mentioned in the opener, I was looking through my photography archives from 2008 and 2012 and reflecting upon what I saw present in my work then. It was a desire to take risks, to travel, engage with people, and tell their stories. Yeah, it's stuff I do now, and I've learned a lot in 12 years. But something has been missing since then, buried deep within and gnawing to be freed. Before I turned 40, I wrote a list of things I wanted to do, and travel to document mission trips was high on the list. And I was able to do it twice. But after the trip to Haiti in 2012, I did have an adverse reaction to anti-malarial medicine. And on top of that, I suffered a major bout of imposter syndrome. The year prior to the trip I went on, a young cinematographer who would go on to work with James Cameron produced a video that was still talked about a year later. I often told myself, there's no way my work will ever measure up to his. And throughout the trip, every image I tried to make was overshadowed by the continued praise for his work. Because let's be honest, the images he produced were sublime. But interestingly enough, I was also restricted because of some of the things he did to get the beautiful footage. For me, I'm a limited adventurer, fearful, and a rule follower. So for 2 weeks, I struggled, and then even more so when I got home and medicine started playing with my mind. At that time, I had started to work on my master's degree, and one night as I was driving to class feeling lower than I ever had before, I passed a sign that simply said, "You will be missed, Chris." That shook me to my core, and I'm not sure what I was thinking or what I was going to do, but that sign set me straight. I went to the doctor, got my brain chemistry readjusted, and began working hard on the next chapters of my career, while also limiting my spirit of creative adventure. From that moment in time, I would go on to teach for 7 years, produce 2 podcasts, write extensively about creativity and curiosity, and create short documentaries that I'm extremely proud of. But deep down inside, I would also struggle with my creative vision. I would have dreams of things I wanted to do, but over time, I got into the habit of playing it safe. I didn't want to take too many creative risks, let alone any risks at all. And when life got hard, I would quit my business and I would go get a job, only to bounce after a few months because it wasn't what I really wanted to be doing with my life. Imposter syndrome touched everything I did, and when people got too close, I hid. 12 years is a long time of living life in this manner. But fortunately, time has a way of resurfacing old dreams and reminding you that life is not over until it's over. While this is my tale, I imagine that you might have a similar story. Maybe you wanted to be an artist, a writer, filmmaker, dancer, actor, painter, but ended up doing something completely different because you didn't have the tenacity or the skills or even the support. Or perhaps you did become a creative, but instead of working on your dreams, you bring other people's dreams to life. So in this episode, I want to share 5 ways to pay attention to your forgotten dreams and actually start bringing them to life. First, spend time in your creative archives. If you've been at this work for any stretch of time, you have built up an unbelievable archive of work throughout your career. And it's a great way to connect to the past version of yourself present in the work. For me, there are self-portraits that I took in mirrors and holding the camera backwards, and I see an actual version of myself that I can connect with. But I also see a different point of view then than I would have now. So when you look at your work, what do you feel? What do you experience? And how does it differ from today? Because if you've shoved something aside that was a desire earlier in your career, and you don't have that same desire today, you might feel that something is missing. Or you might feel that a decision that you made, a creative decision, or the mistakes, or the lack of mistakes, or the lack of failure or experimentation guides you to create less even. So when you explore your creative archive, be on the lookout for that thing, that desire, that function that might not be in your work today. And when you see it, allow it to speak to you. What is it saying to you? I was sharing photos with my good friend, and today she said, What are these photos saying to you? And at first I said, I missed that guy. But then I also was hearing, let go of the fear. Our work can speak to us over time, so let it. The second way to bring attention to your forgotten dreams, let imposter syndrome be a guide, not a deterrent. When I got home in 2012, I let imposter syndrome stop me in my tracks. And it became a habit. Throughout the years, the last 12 years, anytime I got close to some big dream or big vision, imposter syndrome popped up and said, nope, we're going to stop right here. I did that with the video back then. All of the photos that I shot, I never showed them to people. I mean, only the best ones. But at the same time, as I looked back today, there were so many that people could have enjoyed if I would not have let imposter syndrome stop me. I'm doing that right now with the book that I've been writing for years. And imposter syndrome is telling me, nope, not good enough. But what if imposter syndrome was a guide that instead of stopping you, it said, hey, you're on the right track. You're on the right path forward. And it's a good way to reframe what you're doing and allowing yourself to be like, right, it is hard. It is worth doing. It is worth wrestling with and struggling for. So whatever you're trying to do right now, and maybe you get stopped by imposter syndrome too, let it move you forward, even in the slightest step. Third, create a new vision for your future by combining long forgotten dreams with who you've become. The interesting thing about the dreams of our youth is that we don't have the skills and abilities to actually pull it off. What we have instead is the desire and the energy to do it, even if we don't have the technical skills or ability to pull it off. But as we progress in our career, we learn things, we become new creations, new people, and our skills and abilities broaden and strengthen so that when we combine them with that dream of our past, we can actually pull it off. Yeah, we might not have the energy, but we have something that we didn't have then. We have an eye. We have a point of view. We have something deep within us that we'd never had before. And when we combine that with those dreams, we have a new vision, a new possibility for our future. And that's a powerful way to say, become a new person by combining old and new. It's amazing if you let it, and it's sad if we let it stop us. Fourth, and I'm saying this to me as much as anyone else listening to this, be kind to yourself for the decisions and the mistakes you've made along the way. There are so many ways that I punish myself for putting my dreams aside way back then. I let fear dictate the decisions that I made, and I hate myself for that so many days out of the week. But that doesn't actually help. It doesn't help change my present or my future. It just keeps me stuck in the past and beating myself up. And it makes me not even want to try to do anything new. But when you actually take time and say, you know, you made the best decision you could, Chris, or you made mistakes, learn from them. Then, and only then, I think, can you really reconcile where you've been and who you are and what you want to do in the future. Fifth and finally, as I think about my journey the last 12 years, there was never really a mentor that walked alongside me and said, I see this in you. Keep going. Or have you thought about this? There have been people here and there that created moments of clarity, but not in a long-term sense. So the fifth thing that I would want you to do to pay attention to your dreams and bringing them to life is to become the mentor you've never had for yourself. I know that seems kind of weird. How can you guide and mentor yourself and at the same time do what you need to do? But I think the older that we get, the more that we have that separation between how we can address our needs and how we can actually do the things we need to do. But it is also in being mentors for others starting out in their career that we can then begin to mentor ourselves. So it's not just, you know, it's being stuck alone in a room with our thoughts. It's being around people who have that energy and drive that maybe we don't have anymore. And that doesn't mean that we won't have the ability to create things. It just means it's going to look a lot different. Nothing is more powerful than connecting to the dreams of your youth. No matter how old you are, no matter the distance from your past to the present, your future can come alive today. One photo, one paragraph, one chord, one scene at a time. Just take one small step out of your comfort zone and feel the rush of something completely different. It might not change the world, but it might change your life. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.